Our reading from Lamentations this evening was originally written by a poet, possibly the prophet Jeremiah, in the 6th century before Christ, after the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. The poet has been made homeless and is in exile in Babylon. It feels very poignant reading it now with the ongoing situation in Israel and Palestine. It is a tragic state of affairs and one deserving of much prayer. But we have come together this evening to remember those we have personally loved and lost. In our culture, it is not usual to openly show such emotions of lament, grief, or bewailing. You may be familiar with a poem by Henry Scott Holland. It is sometimes read at funerals. The first verse goes like this. Death is nothing at all. It does not count. I have slipped away in the next room. Nothing has happened. And I wonder how those words make you feel. Death is nothing at all. Nothing has happened. Well, I can't agree with that. And I very much doubt whether those of us who have lost loved ones, those in the recent conflict, or perhaps more locally in a calm hospital, would agree. Death is a big deal, and something huge has happened. The loss of a husband, wife, parent, child, a good friend, whoever, it just leaves a huge gap in one's life. It can be life-changing, and grief is incredibly painful. And there is a time after a loved one's death when life can seem very dark, a time for tears, lamentation, and bewailing, a natural part of the grieving process. The first part of the lament we heard lists the poet's afflictions and desolation, and he does sound seriously depressed. We read, I have been deprived of peace. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Perhaps those feelings of grief and anguish resonate with you. But then, we have an about turn as his despair turns to hope. Yet this I call to mind, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail, and therefore I have hope. Drawing on what he knows of the nature of God, the poet finds reason for hope in the face of suffering. He understands that nothing can cut us off from the steadfast love of God. It's the kind of love that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I love you perfectly, consistently, and unconditionally. And the word compassion used here means the kind of tenderness which wraps you up in his arms and he just holds and hugs you for a while. Just as Jeremiah did, I find tremendous comfort in the promise of that steadfast, unconditional love given by a loving Heavenly Father. As I said, this lament was written 500 years or so before Christ. And we, as Christians, living in the knowledge of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, have an even greater comfort and hope. As St. Paul said in his letter to the Romans, which was our second reading, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We have a God who understands grief. And Jesus, being fully human as well as fully God, has experienced every human emotion. As the Puritan writer Richard Baxter said, Christ leads me through no darker rooms than he went through before. Jesus is there with us in all parts of our life, our joys, our sorrows, our hurting, our rejoicing. And even in the grave, he is there with us, identifying with us. But Jesus did not stay there, nor did he just bypass death. He went through death and out the other side. so we can know that he stands with us at the grave of our loved ones and weeps, and is even with us at the end, at our death, in the grave and beyond. He was there with our departed ones, accompanying them, comforting them through from this life to the next. And he will be there with us when we need him. Through Jesus' resurrection, death is a defeated enemy. It is still an enemy and will remain so until the last day. The promise of resurrection does not make death irrelevant, but gives us comfort and hope. I spoke earlier about the hurt one feels at the death of a loved one, and that is very real. For us left behind, that person has gone and will not be with us again in this lifetime. It is the reality of that awfulness that makes the death and resurrection of Christ so important. Because he went through it, we too have a hope of resurrection. So we can, and we will, lament and bewail when we need to. But in the knowledge that God wipes away every tear. We may struggle today even to talk about those we have loved and lost, but we can know that the Lord knows, loves, and cares for all souls and is there to comfort and sustain us. Our late son-in-law, Sam, a devout Christian, believed we will all have work to do in the next life. As he loved sailing and was also a very hospitable and sociable man, I take great comfort in thinking of him going about his duties in the jobs he thought were waiting for him. The first was being a postman to the islands, sailing from house to house. And the second was helping to organise the parties for the new arrivals in heaven. Perhaps that's not the way you envisage the next life. We just don't know. And life here does go on. The time for lament passes and our grief dulls. Whilst I don't like the start of the Henry Scott Holland poem I quoted earlier, some of the sentiments in the poem are lovely. Laugh as we always laughed at the little jokes that we enjoyed together. Play, smile, think of me, pray for me. Let my name be ever the household word that it always was. Let it be spoken without effort, without the ghost of a shadow upon it. Mother Teresa said, death is nothing else but going home to God. The bond of love will be unbroken for all eternity. As we go on living the best life we can in this life, may we have faith that our loved ones are at peace and at home with God in his loving arms, and the firm hope that we will join them when our time comes. Amen.
Amen. Amen.